This is the show.
Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only way.
Wake up late. Now everybody. Wake up late. Everybody. Wake up late. Wake up late.
Wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs, and now you know.
We're the hottest show in
wake
this place.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody. I said one, two, three. Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now, let's start the show.
Thanks, Elgin. Hey, everybody, welcome to another edition of the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida. It's, it's Tuesday, October 8th, and a beautiful day in South Florida. And I'm here with Josh Randall.
What's up?
And first timer here in the studio, Jesse Cohen.
Howdy.
And hey, man, we got. Can I tell everybody you're an attorney?
You can.
All right, let's get you more closer to you because I want you to.
I love
actually
Perry
pull
Sack,
pull the whole stand closer to you. So when you turn to me, there you go. You're right in front of that mic.
All
right, and closer to your face. Act like you're Perry Sack and you have a penis in your face. I'm just saying that because you're paying attention. By the way, Perry Sack, thank you for reminding me of an old joke. Based on my father-in-law being Asian, my wife's. Stepfather, actually, we used to tell a joke, like, one of my original stage names was going to be Dougie A, right? So the idea was, you know, Doug A, and then, you know, like, my Asian stepfather's or father-in-law is going to be like, Doug Gay. No, Doug not gay. Doug like pussy. Let's not get shit fucked up now. Anyway, thanks for reminding me, Perry. And if you need flooring and window treatments, call Perry Sack. Because he's a great, we got the new floors here. We got the new laminate floors here through Danger Studios in the house. So thanks,
Danger
buddy.
Danger Studios.
Anyway, welcome to the show, guys. It's rainy. It's a hard day. I'm not feeling well, so nobody come over here and make out with me. I am not up to par. And I'm about to fly. So nothing worse than traveling and then having to, fly when you're sick. Isn't it like a risk? Can you get like meningitis if you fly, if you got a cold?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
You can die in airplanes, apparently.
Oh,
it happens all the time.
Thanks for cheering me up, Jess.
Great start to the show.
Yeah,
solid.
Thanks, man.
Nailed it.
Shit. That's actually how, I think it was Otto and George. Otto, who was, I don't know if you guys know, if you guys don't know, Otto and George is a great comedy act. It was a guy who was a ventriloquist, very dirty. Perry knows who it is. He used to always be at the old New York Comedy Club. But he had like a dummy and it was very dirty. Like the minute they see a black guy in the audience, you go, guilty, right? But you got to look up Otto and George, pull up anything of him and the puppet. Just amazing shit. Very funny. Like, you want to suck my cock? Want to suck my cock? I mean, it was just, anyway, that's not Otto and George. That's just me right now making that solicitation. So, any rate, so welcome to the show. We got plenty to talk about today. We're going to do straight from the headlines. We got a few stories. Jesse's here for the first time, so let our listeners know a little bit about Jesse, right? First of all, you've been doing comedy now. How long?
A couple years, almost.
A couple years, all right. And, and it's always interesting when a fellow professional, because we're going to talk last week, last show, I don't know if it was last show or the show before, but Minda was here, and we had a bit of a legal discussion. Now, again, I'm not an attorney. I mean, I did get a 170 on my LSAT.
It's not bad.
I got accepted into Georgetown and NYU. That's got to be somewhat, right?
Well, you made a good life decision not going to law school.
Yeah. I almost went back. Actually, fellow comedian and friend, Kojo Prince.
Yeah, Kojo Prince.
Yeah.
He wants to go to law school.
Yeah, he was, man. You saw
I'm
that?
I'm trying real hard to talk him out of it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
I hope he's listening.
I doubt it. But, because I was actually considering it some years ago. When I was getting sick of the financial planning world, I'm like, you know what? I'm thinking about going, because I didn't go because my dad got sick. So I didn't have any. NYU is going to give me some help. But even then, it was too, I couldn't work and I had to take it. So I couldn't do it. So I couldn't do it. So I ended up being a financial planner. And then one of my mentors some years later, I was going to do it. He goes, You've already been doing this financial planning for years now. You're good at it. You're going to start all over again?
Mm-mm.
No?
Mm-mm.
So, but I'm just, you know, I always wanted to be a trial lawyer. You know what I mean? No?
No.
All right. Well, fuck.
Comedy's way more fun.
Yeah.
You can make people laugh and they just laugh, you know?
Yeah.
No one's going to jail if they don't laugh.
That's true. Do you do any defense cases or what do you kind of law do you practice?
I work at a securities litigation firm that sues corporate boards of directors for malfeasance. It's one of those things where it's like an army of lawyer versus an army of lawyers. It's not all about me or anything.
Right.
I've done my own thing. I've had a private practice for a while. I've done a little criminal defense, a little bit of family law,
right?
Business representation, civil litigation, stuff like that. A long time ago when I first got out of law school, I did what's called insurance defense, just representing, you know, business owners, hotels, brothels, strip clubs.
Yeah, high bars. Quality clientele.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was really
speaking
the sketchiest.
Of Germany.
Yeah, this was the sketchiest that Miami-Dade County had to
really?
Offer. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, I can't name names, but, like, hotels adjacent to the airport that have the word executive in the name, and it's nothing but a brothel.
Yeah.
Or the hotel across the street that's also a brothel.
Weren't they just in the news, by the way? Wasn't there a shooting outside the office, a strip club in Miami?
Yeah, these things happen. My boss actually cut his teeth on a $100 million lawsuit from Tootsie's.
Yeah?
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, he represented Tootsie's. Some guy got basically not executed. In the parking lot. He was a foreigner. Someone tried, you know, like, two to the back of the head, didn't kill the guy.
He actually shot him in the back of the head, but didn't kill him?
More or less.
Wow, that guy's got a thick skull.
A BB gun or something. I don't know what happened, but the guy got $100 million. I'm not sure if it was Tootsie's. It was one of the big places.
The guy that got attempted.
The guy who got shot.
Yeah,
shot.
The victim. The victim sued the property owner. So it was that kind of. I represented a bar in Miami one time where the bouncer of the bar lost his second eye. He'd already lost one eye. He lost his second eye from a beer bottle in the eye because of a drug deal gone bad.
Yeah.
Where he's the one selling the drugs at the bar and then turns around and sues the bar that he's working at.
Wow.
He got money. I'm actually a terrible lawyer. That's he won because we were representing the people he was suing. No, I mean, you can sue almost anybody for anything and get money if it happens on their property.
It's a, you know, is it deep pockets? You always go for the deep pockets, like you know when Tracy Morgan got hit by that Walmart truck.
I represented Walmart for a while too.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, that's great.
Slip and falls at Walmart.
And the moral of that story is, if you're going to get in a car accident, you want to get into one with Walmart or Amazon, not like the dollar store.
Yeah, you really want to get hit by a Coca-Cola truck being driven by a drunk driver,
right?
In a school zone.
Yeah.
On Sunday morning.
And the guy's smoking a big fucking spleef.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And that, I mean, my buddy is a DUI. I have a good friend of mine is a DUI traffic lawyer. That's very competitive.
Yeah, it's very lucrative, though, if you do it right.
Right. I mean, those guys make coin because, I mean, there's so many. You can have repeat customers.
Uh-huh.
You don't get
up to a point.
Yeah, you don't get accidental death customers to come back.
No.
You know what I mean? Unless somebody in somebody's family dies more than once. You know what I mean? And I've been in a bunch of mediations because as a financial advisor, I've been sitting in, you know, at the bequest, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're the lawyer. I'm just going to treasure your words, you know, to...
The give me the money part.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had to sit... And I love when they go in there and go, oh, let's put it in one of these annuities. I'm like, no, we want that money now, right, Josh?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's your cue, man.
They always want it.
J.J. Wentworth commercial, goddammit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, come on.
877 cash now.
J.J. Wentworth. Yeah.
That's always funny when you see those commercials. But I remember sitting in a mediation one time, and they were trying to tell the client, like, well, you know, we could put this money in. And I'm like, no. We're going to get this much. I'm like, what are you, nuts? I'm going to get this, like, $500,000 they won. And actually, somebody had died. The client, they were representing two of the children, and the mother died in the Broward County Detention Center.
Hmm.
But their attorneys are arguing that, yeah, there was obvious, you know, neglect. You know, and obviously fault, but the lady was there in crack charges, you know what I mean? So her life expectancy didn't have much value.
Yeah.
And they were fighting over that. And I remember just sitting there going, wow, this is, can you imagine?
Yeah.
So.
Maybe not much value, but it's not nothing either.
Yeah.
I mean, in the eyes of the law, people are worth something.
Yeah. Not in my eyes.
Yeah, not mine.
A lot of people
are. There are a lot of worthless people out there.
Yeah. Just go to some
don't
of the
don't run them over, though. You'll find out how much they're worth.
Yeah. Well, that's the conversation Minda and I were having, and we got into a heated debate because Minda doesn't ever want to be told she doesn't know what she's talking about. But, you know, again, I'm not a lawyer, but like I already told you my little bit of the law. So the point was that, you know, the story was a cop pulled over these two people for driving their bicycles, and they were intoxicated, and they were on the public street. And they arrested them for DUI, right? And she was like, that's bullshit, the cop's an asshole. I'm like, no, it's not, because let's look at, you know, because nobody wants to see the potential, right? What could possibly happen? So, you know, what could possibly happen is you could be driving home sober. Let's say, you know, you don't drink.
Nah, not really.
Not really, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, so imagine driving home sober, you're doing the right thing, and some clown and his girlfriend are doing, you know, fucking wheelies and shit on drunk in the highway, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden the guy slips and turns into traffic and you hit him. And my point was, then that guy, their family's going to sue you.
Mm-hmm.
They don't give a shit that the person was intoxicated or nothing. They're going to sue you. They're going to try to find a way, a good attorney, any halfway decent attorney, is going to find some sort of fault in what you did.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, it's up to the jury to decide.
Right. And not only that, the other point, my point was, not only that, whether you're clear, you know, you're going to, you know, the fact that you have to defend yourself, right?
It's expensive.
You know, so that's why, you know, so I would thank the cop and, you know, listen, if there's a cop out there and you see Amanda, pull her over. You know. Victor Petrov says, is that the famous Jesse Cohen? That guy is hilarious.
Thanks, Victor.
Victor. There you go.
But are you going to race Minda again is the question everybody wants to know.
I'll race her again. I just need a little time to, you know. I don't, listen, she goes, oh, why don't we do it tonight? Like, all right, first of all, when's the last time you sprinted?
Today.
You sprinted today?
Yeah.
What the fuck were you doing?
I was at the gym.
You sprint at the gym?
Well, I was doing like intervals on the treadmill.
Oh, this fucking guy. You know, yeah. I mean, I don't sprint. I walk on the treadmill. I do a little uphill endurance, fat burner, but I don't sprint. But when's the last time you sprinted?
I got a 5-year-old, so I have to sprint all the time to catch up.
Fucking guys are not helping my story here. I'm just saying.
I run out of breath real quickly. Yeah.
I don't, you know, if you're going to sprint, then your muscles are not used to it. You could pull a muscle, you can fuck yourself up.
Yeah.
So you got to get your body a little in tune to that. So that may take a week or two just to break out the rust. But
is
I
there,
will.
Is there going to be a rerun?
I don't. I will race her again.
So to be clear, you are training to race a woman who's half your age and half your size?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Well, because I'm fat.
Is it a 40-yard dash, 50-yard dash, 100
meters? It'll be a 50-yard dash.
50-yard dash.
Yeah. And if you want to see what happened in the first race where I beat her, go to Wake Up Late with Dougie Show YouTube page, and the video's on there. There's a couple things, like Peter Leonard challenged me to who could throw it further, because Pete said he played baseball in college.
I saw that video today.
Yeah, you saw that?
Yeah, I even gave it a like.
Oh, right, good. Yeah. Thanks.
Now you have a like.
I beat him on that. I think there was another one on there, so I raced her. I'm trying to remember what else there was. But I beat her in the race. And she was like, oh, and then she had made excuses and shit. Now she's trying to claim, like, now, because I'm fatter and older, she thinks now she can do it again. But this time she said she's going to take it seriously. So, listen, if you're a former athlete, I don't care how former, you know, the muscle has memory.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like I reached levels of professional, you know, athletics that cannot be forgotten.
Memory is the only thing my muscles have left.
Yeah, exactly.
there's nothing else.
I know, fucking horrible.
Are you guys going to mark a date, you and Minda, like lock a date down for this race?
Eventually. When we do it, we're going to have to mark a date. But right now,
December 32nd.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. It's a leap year. But we will, and I'll beat her. And here's the thing. When I beat her, it has to be painful repercussion. You know what I mean?
You guys have to have some kind of bet.
There has to be. There has to be a bet.
The winner gets Dan Wong.
Oh boy! Yeah, poor Dan's got to deal with that all the time. I like it. She's great. She's on the show. We love her, and she's smart.
Mm-hmm.
Smart girl. Well, you know, well thought out. Sometimes she needs to shut the fuck up. But other than that, I'm only kidding. Speaking of a moment in time, what I thought was interesting. I don't know if you caught some of the news, but Ellen DeGeneres had been getting a lot of heat because I guess she was at a baseball game or a football game, the Dallas Cowboys and the Packers, and you know, she's known as a liberal, you know, she's gay, and you know, the Republican Party isn't known for their, you know, understanding and whatever, and so people were giving her shit. What are you doing sitting with George Bush?
Mm-hmm. I thought that was surprising.
Did you?
Well, I mean, I thought it was surprising it was her and not Michelle Obama.
Oh, really? Yeah, because they're buddies. Sharing candy. But she came out, and I got to applaud her because she came out and said something we've been saying on the show, that just because two people have completely different ideological beliefs, doesn't mean you can't be friends.
Yeah.
Right?
Who cares if they created a new world order and created a war for oil and, you know.
All right, so let's get this
over the Middle East.
I mean, they were watching football. I mean, it was just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she said, look, like Joey Medina and I, he's very liberal. Incredibly liberal. Almost to the point I snooze him every once in a while because the shit gets ridiculous. But we still, you know, we're still great friends, right? We're still great friends. And, you know, obviously by that comment, I guess you're going to be on the more liberal side.
I pick and choose.
Yeah. Are you one of the things now that are happening is President Trump says they're going to pull the troops out of Syria and let Turkey go in there. And everybody's like, oh, well, you're going to let our Kurdish friends down that have helped us. And but at the same time, he's come out and said, we want to pull our fucking guys out of these senseless wars. Right.
If we do, the Kurds will die.
Yes. Fuck the Kurds. I mean, no, I don't, you know, what do I know? All I'm saying is that you got somewhere you cannot win all the time. Life is not that simple. Life can't say, oh, if I do this, then fine, I won't do this. Once you start living, you have to make hard decisions. And the hard decisions mean somebody's going to fucking pay. Right? Whenever you make a decision. In the last week or two, haven't you had to make a decision where somebody's going to be unhappy?
Of course. That's yeah? Life.
Like what?
I don't even remember. I'm just right. A piece.
Thanks for joining me. But you know what I'm saying?
I think if we pull all our troops out of there, the caliphate's going to come back.
Oh, you think?
There's nothing stopping them.
No,
they're still alive. The ISIS prisoners are alive in
that's
Turkish
the one thing
prison camp. They will get out, and they will just go back to cutting heads off.
Yeah.
Because Syria gonna Syria.
I don't know.
Syria gonna Syria.
Uh-huh.
It's serious in Syria. Let's see. Ben Lees, what's up? The Kal Nidri Show with Jesse Cohen.
Yeah, I'm going to make my apologies tomorrow. Happy Yom Kippur, y'all.
Yeah, that's right. It's a Jewish holiday.
It is. It's a Jewish holiday.
Mazel tov.
Are you supposed to be fasting and stuff?
Yeah. I'm supposed to be doing all sorts of stuff that doesn't involve being on a comedy podcast right now.
Yeah, Brian Plankton said, and she was pulling for the Packers. Not the Fudge Packers. Not her thing. She was, and you know, he's a Dallas fan.
Oh, you know? Ellen. Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah, Ellen, back to that story,
Packers.
Right.
Well.
Yeah.
Wisconsin.
Oh, man, I don't know. This whole political thing, you know... It just got to the point now. I love what's happening now. I mean, if you're following what's going on, especially on the legal aspect, right? It's funny to me. I mean, this is let's just think of common sense. Another whistleblower comes out. Everybody's happy about the whistleblower. Meanwhile, the transcript of the conversation that the whistleblower supposedly heard is already out. So do we really give a fuck? Now, you're an attorney. Do you think there's any credence that he actually... did something impeachable with that conversation?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, I'll turn your fucking mic off.
Well, even if they try to impeach him, doesn't the Senate lean towards...
He won't get impeached.
They lean towards Republican, right? I
would suggest that the reason there are follow-up whistleblowers is because they want whistleblower protection to be witnesses. If they go and be witnesses, but they're not whistleblowers,
right,
they could suffer retaliation. But if they are whistleblowers under the statutes, then they get protection.
Hmm. But they want to have they're pushing her to let's do the impeachment, let's have the vote, because the Republicans want to be able to, you know, pull subpoenas on the people that they're going to bring to ruin their shit. And
it's going to get real ugly real quickly.
Yeah, I just don't. What do you think of Schiff? You think he's a problem now?
I mean, he's anybody in Congress.
First of all, let's agree on something. People in Congress need term limits.
Yeah,
these people are once people have been around too long doing the same thing, corruption just breeds.
Yeah, I agree with term limits. At the same time, I think that 2 years for a congressman is too short. I think that 4 years for a president's too short. I think that made sense 250 years ago.
Right.
I think terms should be longer and limited.
Now, do you think the president term should be longer and then one term, or they should have to get two terms that are longer?
I think a one term of like 8 to 10 years would actually be pretty good. I think people would make a more serious decision about who they wanted president, and I think that we'd have a little bit longer for the politicians to do what they want to do without having to start their campaign on the second day in office.
That's the problem. It seems like the minute they're starting to work, next thing you know, they're worrying about being reelected.
Yeah, it's an endless campaign, endless fundraising, and it's a distraction from, you know, doing their jobs. At the same time, do we really want the government doing its job? You know, we're better off with them just politicking.
Mark Piccaroni says, I totally disagree with Jesse.
Yeah, Mark Piccaroni can disagree with me in the Blue Anchor Bar at 2 o'clock in the morning anytime he wants. He knows what I'm talking
Mark
about.
Mark is a Republican.
I know. I love you, Mark.
He's a strong Republican guy.
I'll see you at the Blue Anchor.
What's the Blue Anchor? It sounds like the...
it's a dead end in Delray.
What's the gay bar that was in the police academy?
I'm going to tell you a real quick story about meeting Mark, because Mark and I were trolling each other like about a year ago, relentlessly off of one of Ciro's Facebook posts.
Right.
And we were just going back and forth nasty, and we'd never met face to face. And then I showed up at the Blue Anchor after a show over at Improv U with Nadim. Mm-hmm. And then we went over to Blue Anchor and started drinking, and I'm there. Been in the bar maybe 5 minutes, and this guy comes up to me. He's like, "Hey, you Jesse Cohen?" I was like, "Yeah, who are you?" He's like, "I'm Mark Piccaroni." And I was like, "You're not as big as I thought you'd be." It's like, "I know you from Facebook arguing." And he's like, "You're way bigger than I thought you'd be."
I'll shut up now.
Yeah, but he's cool.
Yeah, his wife, Laura?
Yeah.
She
was there too.
Yeah.
She saw the whole thing. She knew about him and me having Facebook fight the day before. She was like, "He's the guy. Leave him alone."
Isn't that funny when you're having like an argument with somebody on Facebook and then you see him in person?
Yeah, totally different.
Yeah. People need to,
let me tell you what I really think in all capital letters, you piece of... Oh, hey, you want to buy me a beer? Cool.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's fun.
I just don't... I've done with that. I don't make any... I don't post anybody's shit anymore. I don't anything, you know what I mean? I think I had a 24-hour, timeout on Twitter.
Hiatus?
Yeah. They said, "We're going to have to suspend your account. You can read shit, but you can't post anything."
What? Why?
Because, what's her name?
Chelsea Handler?
Chelsea Handler put something on there about Trump. It was just something about, like, being, basically her comment, her post was something about being more, professional, or you know, being more appropriate, and I put something like, "Oh, that's funny coming from a skank like you."
Ooh,
and so they I was like, "What's wrong with skank? That's not
classy."
You know, I just don't like hypocrisy. You know what I mean? It's like that fucking when that stripper or the porn star chick,
Stormy Daniels.
Yeah, and the Democratic Party.
She
gives
was interesting for a minute.
Yeah, give her a key to the city. You remember when she? Remember when she was going to do comedy?
Yeah,
remember she started doing comedy? That didn't last very long.
Yeah, she took a stab at it once or twice.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
People can't, you know.
Cool. I'm going to take a stab at porn.
You, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
I'm going to get implants first.
You're going to get tit implants?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
I did softcore once on Showtime.
Did you?
Yeah.
I believe him, though.
That's the truth.
You did?
I did a show. It was explained to me as it was going to be Baywatch, but like a little edgier meets Californication. So my agent's like, "You booked the main role in this show called Beach Heat." I'm like, "I just became an actor. This is like 10 years ago." I'm like, "Oh, I'm going to shoot 13 episodes," and it was a great paycheck.
Just tell me there's not a video of you out there getting banged in the ass.
Why would you think that's it would be gay softcore?
Well,
so
look at you.
Oh yeah, it was all super good. But yeah, once I got on set, like the second day, we were doing like some love scenes.
Yeah,
and I was like, "Oh no, I'm doing a softcore porn. This is bad."
So did you have to get naked?
No, I had my whitey tighties on. My agent put that in there. I was never naked, but the girls have like just Band-Aids over their vaginas, and
really?
It always just sweat.
A Band-Aid.
Just a Band-Aid, and it always sweats off.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when you turn the heat up.
Oh, yeah.
I'm never going to look at a Band-Aid the same
But that's
way.
Like the running joke in my family when I see them for the holidays. It's like, do any more softcore porn? I'm like,
is there somewhere we can see this?
There's definitely stuff on YouTube, like on like previews for the show and stuff. It's called Beach Heat Miami.
Beach Heat Miami.
Beach Heat Miami.
Yeah.
Do you ever have one of those things where you're dating somebody and then you think you see somebody that used to be an ex-girlfriend or something? Like, my stepdaughter was dating this one guy, and I could have sworn he looked familiar from a porn. And I didn't know how to bring it up to her. I'm like, I think this kid was in porn.
Don't say it. Don't say it.
You know?
No. Because if you're right, you're wrong. And if you're wrong, you're wrong.
Yeah. There's no right about it.
Yeah.
Well, my girlfriend doesn't even really know the extent of that show. She's like, "I saw your IMDb. What show on Showtime were you on?" I'm like, "Oh, it never aired. It didn't air every week for 2 months."
And she's never looked up it?
She never looked it up.
Wow.
She'd be horrified.
She's going to now.
First of all,
she's not listening.
Yeah. First of all, none of my ex-girlfriends would ever be like that. They would, only my wife. Like, my wife was the first woman I ever dated that the minute I walked out of my apartment or house, that she didn't go through my drawers. You know what I mean? Like,
okay, what I'm saying?
Like, you know when you had, like, you leave the house, you go somewhere, they check your phone, or, you know, you leave, "I'll be back, I'm going to go get the fucking paper" or something. And then they, you know, next thing you know, the shit's disheveled, they went like a nut. Like, the girl I was with before my wife, she was like that. She was like, all the time checking out shit. Like, the minute I walk out of that, you know, she'd be like looking around for shit and everything. I mean, she had reason, but never mind. You know what I mean?
It's Pandora's box. You find stuff and then you found it. Now what are you going
to
do?
Exactly. It's like you can't tell anybody to that.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Well, like you said, I looked through all your shit when you're angry. I looked through all your shit when you were outside, you know. I remember one of my ex-girlfriends had a list of guys she banged.
A list of guys? What did...
It was in a spiral notebook.
Did it say, bang guys I've banged?
No, she had like a name and then like a number next to it, like whether it was once or twice.
Are you shitting me?
It was a tab. And a tally, so she could go back and correct it.
It was like a Siskel and Ebert thumbs up kind of thing.
Oh my god!
And I remember because you know
he thinks those were the numbers of how many times, but it's actually
the inches of dick. Yeah,
these guys are all small then. It's 1 and 2 inches.
What do you mean you only banged me twice? We banged 10 times. That's not what that number
no,
is.
Exactly. But I remember this my ex girlfriend before my wife. I found it, and then I found out she had sex with somebody I played soccer with. And she, you know, I'm like, this is fucked up. And I remember we worked at Publix. And I drove the Publix, and I went to talk to him. Hey, man, were you with her and this and that? He's like, I ain't talking shit. I'm like, you fucker. You know what I mean? Like, you're my friend. You should, yeah, you know, just come out and say it. And then she called up there, and I went to the front desk of Publix. I go, hey, did Kim call here? Because, yeah, she just called there asking for so-and-so. I go, fuck. I shouldn't have been an attorney. I should be a detective. I would have been a much better detective.
So what was the result of you asking if he banged her?
Oh, I said it was cool, and I banged her somebody else. You know, because that's how it was. You know, when I would find somebody did something wrong, I wouldn't do anything bad about it. I shouldn't say that. I wouldn't do anything bad to her or do anything. I would just, okay, well, this gives me a get-out-of-jail-free card in my mind, you know?
Passive-aggressively have sex with someone else.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Total.
Now, you're not married, right? Are you married?
I am technically married.
Yes.
And technically getting divorced.
So you guys,
I hope my 5-year-old's not watching.
The 5-year-old doesn't know?
He doesn't know.
Oh, that's got to be rough.
Oh,
just
cool.
One kid?
That I know of, yeah. Okay. She may have had many other kids with me that she didn't tell me
that's
about.
That's why you're leaving?
There's all sorts of stuff she doesn't tell me.
That was the main issue.
Yeah, that was the thing. I went to the school and I saw all these other kids that looked kind of like her, but not me. This is your first marriage?
It is, that I know of. I may have had other marriages that I've forgotten.
You know, for an attorney, you're not very up on things.
I'm
man.
Very, I'm
you're,
vague.
Yeah.
I'm evasive.
He's just, yeah, it's like.
Jesse Cohen, vague man.
Her lawyer may be watching.
Josh, I want you to consider him a hostile witness. Yeah.
Yeah, one marriage, one kid.
Well, how long have you been married?
Going on 10 years.
All right.
It's been a minute.
Well, I don't want to say what happened, but what happened? Like, in other words, is it more or less.
Oh.
Is it just something like time or something happened, like an event happened that caused it?
I'm underemployed, lack ambition, spend too much money.
You're an attorney.
I have this crazy delusion that I'm just going to become a world famous, highly paid stand-up comic that can support my family.
Yeah,
well,
see, I'd divorce you for that. See?
Yeah, I would divorce you because you're a guy.
My wife. How'd this happen? My wife, I remember a while back, we're talking about this and that, and she goes, oh, I just kind of thought this was like a hobby. You know what I mean? Like, you really weren't. I'm like, honey, I'm mad because I remember I get mad about something because I didn't get an opportunity for something. And she goes, oh, why are you getting so mad? I'm like, well, fuck. I just thought you're. Because in my wife's mind, she sees me making, you know, a great living at what I do. So she's like, why would you, you know, why would you want to do it? I'm like, because I don't want to do this all my, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, but even then, what I do is so easy. You know, like, why would I not do it? Right? Like, why would I not do it? I just don't know what it's like to wake up in the morning and not worry about the market, the economy. You know, when you wake up in the morning, you see the Dow futures down and war and shit like that happening. You're like, fuck, there goes my day. I gotta spend the whole day doing stupid shit now.
If you read the stuff that I read, you'd never invest in securities.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, that's it.
You just back away very slowly, turn around, and never go back.
So are you saying because firms are dirty?
No. I mean, well, yeah, corporations.
Yeah.
Boards of directors. I mean, like. Enron style stuff, every day, all over the place. It is scary.
Yeah.
Just malfeasance.
Doesn't that sound like shit or something? Like
it does.
Malfeasance.
It's the worst kind of shit. Because
so you want to define malfeasance for our listeners?
Yeah, corporate boards of directors stealing money from their shareholders to enrich themselves.
Hmm.
I mean, I can't talk specifics, but I'm on a lawsuit where these people manage in 6 months to blow $80 billion of corporate wealth.
Right.
Their company was $260 a share. 6 months later, they were $25 a share. They were par at $199. They blew $80 billion. Now, the $80 billion didn't exist in the first place because the only justification for their share price being high was because they were lying to everyone.
Expectations of future earnings.
Yeah, well, you can't sell one thing nine times to yourself and book that as profit.
Hmm.
That's just lies.
Hmm.
That's just Enron.
Enron. I remember that story.
Yeah.
I remember when people would say that. Like,
securities are scary.
People would say that to me, like, especially what I do. They're like, I don't want to invest money because, look, I don't feel bad for anybody that lost all their money in Enron. If you had all your money in fucking Enron, you
deserve. I had all my friends in Enron. My friends were working there. I sent an email to my friend one morning in November of 2001. Good morning. How are you today? Bounce back undeliverable. Call her up on a landline. I'm like, hey, your email bounced back. She's like, yeah, we all got fired.
Ooh.
Like standing outside the building on TV.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember that stuff like that was what would cause a problem because everybody come in like, oh, I don't want, you know, I'm like, look, it's, you know, that's a different, you know.
Yeah. Real personal.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, anyway, thanks for screwing everything up for me, Jess. In my business.
I blame Enron.
Yeah. Well, they're a piece of shit company.
They were. I like Minute Maid better.
Minute Maid?
Yeah. They took over Enron Field. The ballpark where the Houston Astros play was Enron Park for a few years.
Yeah.
Like 9 minutes after that happened, they're like, we need a new sponsor.
Yeah. I felt bad about buying
let's
that.
Let's go get orange juice. That never hurt anybody.
Ugh. You got any fans in the we're in the playoffs of baseball? Anybody, you guys baseball fans?
Yeah, Astros.
Yeah, yeah.
I like the Red Sox too, but
now the Astros are playing Tampa Bay Rays, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Rays won last night, I believe.
I don't know.
How can you be a fucking fan if you don't know how your team did last night?
I know how I did at the open mic. That's where I was.
Where'd you go last night?
How'd it go?
Jackie's backstage.
On Monday night?
Yeah.
A lot of people?
It was about 20 people. I didn't get there till 11 o'clock at night. And there must have been about 20, but I think there was a bunch of other stuff going on too.
Mm. I haven't hit that open mic in a while.
It's a good one. It's definitely worth going to. There have been as many as 50 people sometimes. It is crazy.
Yeah, it gets busy.
We battled the football game on Sunday.
That's right. We're over at Packy's.
That's tough.
On Sunday night.
Yeah.
And it's funny because Danny the Jew, and don't get mad at me, that's what his name is. But Danny the Jew starts that thing, and I walked up and go, Danny was thinking about having the show at a fucking gun range. It would have been a little quieter.
I'd do that.
Yeah.
I'll go to a mic at a gun range, sure.
Why not? But I think it kind of got quiet after things started a little bit.
Yeah, it was a good crowd.
Yeah, I had fun. I was going to go up. I was going to try to do some new stuff. My wife gave me that talk. You know, like, you know, don't. My wife says, you're in an open mic. Do all the new stuff. And I'm like, well, the stuff I just told you I want to do is all new. She's like, well, just because you heard it before doesn't mean, you know, all these people have heard it. But then I got to the point, I'm like, look, I just want to do well
at
this point. You know what I mean? And you sang a couple songs, right?
Yeah,
two?
Yeah, did three.
Yeah, and I guess the showcase people were me, Josh, Nadim, and was there one more?
It was a woman.
Yeah, and Alicia.
Elena. Alicia.
I remember. Elena. Nobody remembers her name. And what's her name?
Elena.
Elena. Elena. Yeah. Yeah, she was on there.
Elena.
Mike Sweeney from Facebook Live says, "Hey, fiduciary, can you tell me if Beyond Meat is worth investing in? Not the stock, but in your host's Showtime series." I don't get it. yeah, I can't give financial advice on the radio. Otherwise, I got to put a disclaimer out. You have a lot of restrictions in advertising as an attorney.
I don't know.
Again, I love an attorney.
Hire me.
Yeah, fucking think about anything.
We'll take cash.
Yeah.
You Venmo me some money. I'll give you some advice.
I love Venmo. I love all these new systems.
Yeah, right.
Right? You don't have to pay. You know, you just, I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
A lot of clubs will pay you that way now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, Venmo's awesome.
I have a friend, I work, Chris Priester, we did our Ebony and Olive comedy show. He had to go to the bank. I go, dude, this is 2000 fucking, you know, 19. Why you go? I don't ever go to the bank. I do everything on my phone. I deposit my checks on the phone, right? I don't ever go there.
I went to the wrong bank today because I'm a moron.
You know, listen,
I had a check I needed to cash. I went to my ATM. I couldn't remember my ATM number. It was too early in the morning to go into the bank. So I was like, fuck it, I'll go at lunch. I went at lunch next door to the bank. Walk in, I was like, I can't remember my ATM number. I need to cash this check. And they're like, this is Chase Bank. That's a Citibank card. It's like, I have no accounts at Chase Bank. Just walked out. I was like, so stupid.
That's not really. You're glad you can't advertise your, you know.
Yeah.
I've done stuff like that. I went to the, you know, went to the wrong place.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I don't like going. Listen, I'm a survivalist. I'm a self-preservationist. I don't go to check cashing stores. I don't go to banks because that's where people get shot.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I do whatever I can to stay out of those problems. You know.
That's why I couldn't remember which bank I had.
Well, that's concerning. I mean, you're going through shit, dude.
Yeah.
And if you're going through shit, family shit, and personal shit, that's the one thing that'll screw me up. If I'm dealing with a lot of pressure, you know, stuff that's dealing with family and emotional stuff, that'll just completely fuck up your day.
It can.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going through what you're going through, that's definitely enough to numb the brain.
Yeah.
You've never been married, right, Josh?
No.
I mean, you just had a, you were in a porn, as you said, but.
Would you like
soft core, I will say. Soft core.
Soft
big
core.
Difference. No penetration.
So did you act like you were banging a girl in there?
Yes.
Implied nudity.
Yeah.
Implied sex.
So did you get a boner when it was happening?
The girls were pretty hurting, man. Because, like, the girls they would hire. Think about the girls that are going to come on this show. So most of them were, like, ex-beat-up porn stars.
Right.
That would be, like, because it was based on two buddies in this show. One of my buddies, the other co-star, he became a lawyer in L.A. He's like, don't ever mention this again.
He should have been a porn
What's
star.
His name?
His name is Graham Purdy.
He just got disbarred.
He'll fucking kill me. And then the show was like how we would like hang and bang on the beach, and there'd be like new girls each episode. So they were all like ex porn stars.
Oh, so you film more than one episode?
I was in 13. I was one
Holy
of the main characters
shit.
For 13. Yeah,
you're a porn star now, buddy.
Softcore.
Did difference. It make it to syndication?
It was on Showtime. Yeah. No, it never go went to anywhere else.
Right. By the way, Mike Sweeney says, I was hacked for $15,000 through Venmo transaction from my son. Carlos
son.
Carlos Osella, when white people show up to the wrong place. Yeah, Carlos is a... Carlos had been at the open mic at Backstage.
I didn't see him.
You didn't see him? Carlos, were you there? He's usually there. That's his spot.
I didn't get there until very late.
Oh, that's right. You're late because you're reading your law books.
Something like that.
Anyway. Hey, it's that time of the day, by the way. Hopefully. Yeah, it didn't work, see? Thanks, Peter. Coming from the only newsroom with a typewriter. Thank you. Here's where we have news from here and around the world to make fun of it. And we used to do something. So I'm going to give you guys the storyline. You guys maybe try to tell me if you can figure out a joke, okay? Shipwrecked Colombians clung to cocaine bales. Let you guys think about that for a second.
I think Colombians cling to cocaine bales whether or not they're shipwrecked.
Yeah, I don't think it has to do with
yeah. In the ocean, out of the ocean.
Yeah, I cling to them whenever I'm home.
It's not just Colombians, yeah. I'd cling on to it.
In Bogota, three suspected drug smugglers survived in shark-infested Pacific waters by clinging for hours to floating bales of cocaine. Now listen, if you're floating in the ocean, and you got a bale of cocaine. Anybody got car keys?
I'd do all the cocaine and beat
yeah,
up the sharks.
Exactly.
And then walk home.
Fucking do a bale of it and swim home.
Survival yeah. mode. You have to.
Three Colombians are suspected of smuggling 1.2 tons of cocaine from Tumaco in Colombia when their boat was hit by a wave.
It doesn't work that way.
What kind of fucking boat was it? Saturday by capsized, Captain George Maldonado of Colombia's task force against drug trafficking told the news. By the time the men were picked up around 30 nautical miles from Tumaco by a Colombian Coast Guard vessel, they had been in the water for about 7 hours.
They got off easy.
Yeah. The men were taken ashore along with the floating bales, which tested positive for cocaine. See, that you can't see as an attorney, you can't say, hey, this wasn't mine. No, we fell off a boat.
We're just out there.
But, you know, that can actually be a defense. You could say, look, our boat sank and we just cling to these fucking bales. How can they prove their, you know, think about it. How can they actually prove? Because the burden is on the proof, right?
I'd also say that it's not illegal to be holding on to cocaine 30 miles out at sea.
Was my choice. I could
die.
I mean,
that's not a good argument, but that's what I'd say.
I would, yeah. Listen, it was either I die or I can't. There's nothing else floating around. It's not like I had a choice of floating around on some cotton candy bales, you know. The men were in good health and will face charges for drug trafficking and probably get banged in the ass in jail. Very possibly they were on their way to Central America, they said. The Port of Tumaco is one of the main conduits for drug exiting Colombia from Central America to the United States. So there's a bunch of people right now going, shit, this weekend's fucked.
Yeah, well, I appreciate them trying, you know.
That's never. I've turned it down 8 times in the last 2 years now.
I haven't.
It was the easiest drug for me to quit. Number one, and but every, you know, and when you say no to somebody who offers it, they always get a little feel bad about it. You know, like, oh, I didn't mean to bug you about it, but it's like I do it and I get depressed for a week.
Yeah, well, if they're offering, they're already high on cocaine. Fuck them.
Yeah.
They'll move on. They'll forget about it in 3 seconds.
Here's a story. Man who shot, killed Ohio canine officer Jethro, sentenced to 45 years in prison. Meanwhile, the officer who shot that poor guy in the apartment, that was an interesting story, right?
In Texas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I knew she was going to get a light sentence.
I think 10 years.
10 years, ten that's years. It.
From murder, too, I think.
Right. That's a short sentence, right?
That is kind of a light sentence, yeah.
And then the judge and everybody and the brother of the victim was getting shit because they were hugging her after.
I don't hold that against him.
I don't forgive.
I mean, I think optically it's a little weird as far as clickbait goes, but maybe everybody should get a hug when they're sentenced.
Yeah.
If the judges were hugging everybody.
Well, this is an interesting story because some people think there's something weird about this because, first of all, people say, how can you walk in the wrong apartment? Well, I've done that in a hotel. I've gotten off the wrong floor,
mm-hmm.
and I went, you know what I mean? I got into my room and started trying to put the key in. Some guy says, what the fuck? I'm like, oh, what floor is this? You know?
Yeah.
I've done that. And I guess she was partying, and she mm-hmm. was horny because she was texting somebody. Yeah, she was drunk, and she was texting her lover, right? And then she comes back to her room. She thinks it's hers. Now, that's interesting. So if I'm an officer and I got a gun in my pocket, right, if I'm carrying a gun, and I think I'm walking to my apartment, I open the door and there's a guy standing there. What are you going to do?
Walk out of the apartment.
Yeah, walk back
out.
Shut
the door.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
Yeah. You're no help today, by the way, Jess. You're not like it. You're right. I mean, I'm a self-preservationist. I'm not going to kill somebody.
If I shoot someone in their wrong home, I don't want to tell the world on a podcast that I plan to do that in advance. I'm just covering my
smart.
Ass.
He is thinking.
Yeah.
Back to Coke. Have you guys ever done Coke before stage, before a comedy set?
Not before a comedy set. Yeah.
No. I have.
And?
Too edgy. My timing was all off. I was just too rushing everything. And it's not good.
Yeah.
Now the funny thing is I can always tell, anybody who's ever used it can always tell who does. There's usually like a sound to their, like a nasally, like a weird sound to their voice. You know what I mean? And if you get close enough to them, you can almost smell like bleach or some mm-hmm. sort of ammonia type smell. It's like a weird
gasoline.
Smell. Yeah.
Gasoline distillate.
Yeah.
It's gross.
Yeah, it is. The man who shot and killed canine officer Jethro, not to be confused with Jethro from Beverly Hills Billies. Officer Jethro of the Canton Police Department in Ohio has been sentenced to 45 years in prison. Kalantri Bearfield, 23, received the sentence after pleading guilty to charges related to the dog. I'm surprised that he pleaded guilty and still got that much time.
Yeah. I'm surprised that you could get 45 years for killing a dog.
Well, it's an officer.
It's not an officer. It's a dog.
It's an officer. It's a police dog. It's an officer.
There's two questions that are always on the bar exam that are gimme questions. An animal can't murder a person, and a person can't murder an animal. At the end of the day, you cannot murder an animal. It's an animal.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get into PETA about it, but like...
But is that... I don't remember that question, because this was in 1989 when I took the test. But the... I remember reading a story about how somebody kicked the police dog.
Mm-hmm.
And they got charges mm-hmm. of striking the officer. Now, whether or not they were charged officially with it, but they, you know... Okay. They were charged with it, whether it stuck or not. But
yeah, vandalizing property and animal cruelty. That's what I would call that.
Yeah.
I mean, I love dogs. I just don't think a human being can murder a dog in terms of, like, going to jail for 45 years.
Yeah, that's a long sentence.
Yeah,
like I said, that's a weird...
The dog is property.
That's insane.
It is a thing.
Yeah.
It's not a person.
Bearfield's attorney, Steve Reich, who should never be hired again, didn't immediately... This guy wouldn't be Listen, my client got 45 years for killing a fucking police dog. Yeah, what'd he say? You were going to get life in the fucking chair, thanks to me. This is a horrible attorney, right?
You're going to send him to dog prison.
Yeah, you're going to go stay 20 years
in a
kennel.
A kennel.
You got to sleep in a doghouse in somebody's backyard. Didn't immediately respond to the news, obviously. You shouldn't. He shouldn't even agree not to have his name in the story. Jethro was killed in January after suffering multiple gunshot wounds while responding to a burglary at a grocery store, according to the officer. The death of the 3-year-old German Shepherd devastated Canton Police Department Officer Ryan Davis.
Oh, so that 45 years probably includes his charges for the burglary of the grocery store, too.
Right.
It's not just the dog. Mm-hmm. You're also burglarizing a grocery store with a gun. I mean, that could put you away for 45 years. That's a real serious crime.
Yeah. Yeah, armed robbery?
Yeah, an armed robbery of a grocery store? Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it more than a bank? Because a bank's a federal law, right? You can get 20 years.
Oh, I don't think it. I mean, yeah, robbing a bank is a federal crime. But going into anywhere with the intention of robbing it with a loaded gun, you're looking at 20 years at least.
Right. In the letter, of 11-year-old girl named Allison tells Davis, "I'm sorry about Jethro." Yeah, it's sad when a dog dies. I almost killed mine the other day. It was a pain in the ass. You all know Jenny McCarthy, right?
I've met her. In my mind.
Jenny McCarthy reveals she and Donnie Wahlberg have sex in airport bathrooms.
Yeah?
Good for them.
Yeah.
Is that where autistic kids come from?
Oh, shit.
Shit. Sorry.
Now, one of the things I actually enjoy, because I've done a lot. You know, prior to my wife, I've been with 3 women. You know, I had an ex-girlfriend, I told you it was cuckoo. She used to like girls. So I had a lot of fun with that, right? I had a lot of experiences, right? But the one thing that still to this day is exciting is having sex somewhere in public. Like my wife and I had sex at a place called, you know, the Ocean Manor Hotel in Fort Lauderdale?
I do.
That's one of the first places I did comedy. There used to be a bar or restaurant downstairs called Rumor Has It. And we started doing comedy there. Actually, Richie Leese remembered this when he was on the show because that's where I met him originally years ago. And I remember we were partying, hanging out, and we went to the bathroom and I brought her in, you know, brought her in the stall and very sexy. You know, very, you know, being in public. You know what I mean?
Bathroom stall? I don't know.
What if there's like a fresh heater someone just left in there?
It's like on the bar, maybe.
On the bar?
On the bar.
In front of everybody?
Sure.
No, I mean like...
I'd rather do that than you know,
because anybody can walk in. You know what I mean?
I just wouldn't want to have sex in a public bathroom.
Because it's, there's just, you know... I mean, listen, it wasn't a shithole. It's a nice place.
It's forbidden.
Okay, I mean, maybe like the bathroom at the Seagate Hotel in Delray Beach. Those are really nice bathrooms.
Yeah. Well, this was a nice bathroom.
Okay.
It's the Ocean Manor.
Airport bathrooms are pretty tiny, too.
You just go across the street to the beach.
Yeah, I've had sex in the beach.
Yeah.
I said this in the past, like when I grew up down here, right? So when you're a high school kid, you don't have many places to go.
Yeah, the beach and the Everglades.
Yeah. You know, the lifeguard stand.
Lifeguard stand, same. Yeah.
Right? Yeah, lifeguard stand's great.
They have cameras now.
In the lifeguard stand?
Yeah.
Shit. Technology sucks.
Yeah.
I remember going in that lifeguard stand.
We had a lot of scenes in the software porn in the lifeguard stand, to be honest.
Resident expert.
That's how they filmed it. They didn't have cameras. They just used those feet.
They just made found footage videos.
It's always funny. Like, when you go on the beach, you take your girl for a walk on the beach at night, and you see those people and laying down on their sand, and they're on top. It's like when
everybody hiding from each other.
Yeah.
You got one couple. Yeah. It's like, I hope they don't see us. Like,
they're spaced out just, you know, strategically, so you couldn't see unless you really look. And then when you go to the beach during the day, then you're holding your girlfriend in your arms and you're banging her. I've done that. You ever done that?
Like during
the
day?
Went to the surf.
Yeah, like
yeah, went to the water.
Yeah, you go in the water and
I did it in the water during the day once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You go in there, you just hold her like you're hugging each other?
Yeah, sex in the water is better during the daytime than at nighttime. At nighttime, it's scary.
Hey, stop playing with my
last
ass.
Last time
That's
I was having
me.
Sex in the water at night, it was with these 2 Colombian guys, and we had a bale of cocaine.
And we were just floating around.
Best 7 hours ever.
And then the cock blocker Coast Guard showed up.
Yeah.
What's the opposite of Mile High Club? Whatever it is.
Submarine Club.
That's what Jenny McCarthy and Donnie Wahlberg are doing.
Oh, God.
Jerry McCarthy's Tuesday night stint on Watch What Happens Live on Andy Cohen. A question about potentially reality television comeback. I'm losing my voice, so deal with me. quickly got out that hand when she revealed that she and Wahlberg see each other so little that they are doing it in airport bathrooms, much like senators.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah,
remember that story?
Yeah, that senator from Minnesota with his toe-tapping shenanigans.
Foot, yeah. And he's like, I'm not gay. Remember his wife was standing next to him?
He's like, I'm not gay.
Yeah, he's tapping his fucking foot.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I think the weirdest thing about that story, aside from the closet homosexuality and the denials and the conservatism, is just like that they had a sting operation because this was a thing happening there all the time, and they needed to solve that problem.
Right. Can you imagine?
Like, you just happen to get caught doing the thing that they're looking out for in the place they're looking for it because it's a problem in this bathroom. Whatever. I don't care. I'm not judging them.
All I know is I'm going to go look for Donnie Wahlberg and Jenny McCarthy next time I'm at an airport.
In Boston Logan?
Yeah. Is that where they live in that area? Then?
Well, I assume Donnie Wahlberg lives in Boston. That accent's intolerable anywhere else.
Yeah. It's almost as bad as my voice as it leaves me. Yeah. During after show, a woman called in to ask about McCarthy's return to reality. Who gives a fuck about her? Her time's done.
Return to reality? Like reality television?
Yeah.
Does she have a reality TV show?
Well, she hosts that show on Fox, the Masked Singer.
Yeah, the Masked Singer.
She's a...
Now, are these people... I've never watched this show. It's got a great reviews. It started again, right? Are these people that actually know how to sing?
I mean, I think... I'm not a fan of it because all the performances are pre-recorded in the studio and they're basically lip-syncing with a fucking costume on. So I think the show...
That's what I was wondering, because how can they sing through the mask?
Yeah, it's just... It's all auto-corrected and pitch-perfect and it's not real.
Right.
It's like they're lip-syncing with a fucking Halloween costume on.
Well, if you don't have to sing right and you have to wear a mask, maybe I should be on that show.
Yeah, you're shooing.
I finally found my talent.
And the judges give these like compliments like, oh, your performance was great. Your voice, like, well, it was recorded. It's like, I don't know.
And you don't even have to worry about lip syncing because you don't have to move your lips.
Exactly.
You got a mask on.
Exactly.
All you got to do is move around.
Yeah.
That is a bullshit start.
It's bullshit.
I wasn't aware of this.
Yeah.
Thanks, Josh.
You're welcome.
Thanks for unmasking the Masked Singer.
I unmasked the Masked
Singer. That is horseshit.
It's horseshit, the show. I think it's one of the worst shows.
Do you like Dancing with the Stars?
I haven't watched it in a while.
Yeah.
Never seen it.
No. You watch any? What do you watch on TV?
Nothing.
All right. No wonder you're getting divorced. Fucking guys. This guy's fucking boring. Fuck.
I stream, you know, and like binge some shows.
Yeah,
from time
I'm on
to time.
Netflix.
Like, I watched Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that.
I watched Blow last night, speaking of cocaine.
The old movie? About,
yeah.
Yeah.
Is that with
Johnny Depp?
Johnny Depp, yeah.
That's a sad movie.
You know what TV show? Actually, it's some of my favorite actual network TV shows, like Blacklist with James Spader. It's a great fucking show.
I don't know.
He's like a bad guy that helps the FBI and shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a fucking great show.
Yeah, I saw some first season of that show.
Yeah, I love James Spader. Great actor. Anyway, fuck Jenny McCarthy. Here's a story. Florida parents turn in daughter after 25 pipe bombs are found in the home.
Those parents are stupid.
And the daughter looks like a boy. Hillsborough County, Florida. Parents of Florida woman reported their daughter to officials after finding 24 pipe bombs. Along with the bombs and bomb-making materials found in the room, Michelle Colts, 27, police also found several weapons. One turned out to be a dildo. Hollywood police officer charges with battery. Girl 10 brings up... Oh, that's a different story. Hillsborough County Sheriff said called the amount of dangerous materials in the home astonishing. Kids today, man.
Parents turning their own kid in for that is astonishing.
Yeah.
Do they understand the level of feloniousness they just narked their kid on? That's crazy.
Felonious. Can you look that up for me?
Yeah. Really big crime. That kid's going to suffer some serious consequences. Those parents are going to regret.
Yeah, but you know what? Then people always ask, like, why didn't the parents, you know, because, listen, I'm all for the parents being suffering. Like, when these kids do shit, like, you know, mass shootings and stuff, the parents should go to fucking jail, too.
Yeah, I agree.
Right?
Fuck I agree.
It. Nothing. Oh, I didn't know what he was doing. Well, fucking pay attention. You know? 18 people die because you don't fucking pay attention to your kid.
Yeah. But maybe they just turn her in for one pipe bomb and keep the other 24.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe what if there was 50?
Well, I mean, we grew up in a generation where we're making our own pipe bombs for shits and giggles.
Of course,
I mean, that was
same.
Just like, hey, let's make pipe bombs and throw them in the pond.
The closest thing I made to a pipe bomb, we used to take, it took a brick of all these firecrackers.
Yeah.
Cut them open, took all those, you know, all the gunpowder out.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
And we put it in like in a juicy box.
Uh huh.
Right?
Yeah.
Like a Capri Sun box or something, whatever. And then we fucking lit up, like, boom.
Yeah.
Put it in somebody's
mailbox. Yeah.
See, nobody arrested me.
Yeah, mailbox. Make it a federal crime. Extra fun.
That's what kids should be doing.
Yeah, that's what 11-year-olds are supposed to do.
So what is she looking at?
She has two bows.
How old is she?
She has a pair of nunchucks. 27. And
27?
She has three or four axes.
They should have called the cops.
Okay. She has several fucking swords.
I was thinking she was like a kid or something. 27.
24 pipe bombs, smokeless pistol powder, fuse material, 23 knives, two hatchets, nunchucks. Two BB type rifles.
I see a picture of this chick.
I'm going to tell you, it looks like she looks like a boy.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Even, huh? Yeah. She looks like she'd have 24 pipe bombs and angry parents.
Yeah. Look at her. He looks like Stuart Walker. Remember that comic? The kid who was doing comedy and, well, no one knows him. Anyway. Well, glad. Good. Let's hear it for the parents. Next story. Florida man shot and killed son-in-law who was trying to surprise him, sheriff says.
That's such a weird story. I saw that one.
Surprise. Oops. Pensacola, Florida. A Florida man will not face charges after authorities said he accidentally shot and killed his son-in-law.
Jesus. Mm-hmm.
Who had just flown to the U.S. from Norway mm-hmm. as a birthday surprise. The tragic case of mistaken identity occurred around 11:30 p.m. Tuesday at a home in Gulf Breeze. It says, Johnson said that Richard Dennis, 61, of Gulf Breeze, shot and killed 37-year-old Christopher Bergen, who was married to Dennis's daughter. Bergen had flown from Norway to Florida to surprise his father-in-law for his birthday.
That in and of itself is crazy, but...
Moral of the story, don't surprise anybody.
Well, the father-in-law, the dad who did the shooting, had been in a fight with other family members earlier in the day.
Huh.
The son-in-law who got shot didn't know anything about that, and obviously the father didn't know that the son-in-law was coming. And then when the son-in-law goes to the dad's house, there had already been an altercation with a different family member at the same house.
So he's all riled up.
So he was all riled up, and he thought that it was just more of the same from earlier. And the guy hides in the bushes, jumps out, goes, and then like the father-in-law was like,
bad timing.
Holy yeah.
Which means
shit.
The father-in-law actually thought that he was going to be shooting somebody. Different family member.
Yeah,
it's
that's
just,
insane.
I just accidentally killed the wrong person for the
see,
wrong
reason. Let's play a little Matlock here. So what I'd be interested in seeing all the exchanges that occurred, right, between the family members, and if any of it warranted deadly force.
Well, Castle Doctrine, I mean, if someone scares the shit out of you at your front door and you think they're a threat because they jumped out of the bushes
that's
at
it.
Night and go, blah, like that, you know, I mean, shoot first, ask questions later.
Yeah.
This is Florida.
Yeah, stand your ground.
I mean, I was half afraid you'd blow my head off when I parked in the garage.
I know, and I tell people to come, and I tell people to just go ahead and come through the garage
just
if you're
a
little nervous. Just come right in, no one's home. I always wanted to get rid of Jesse.
Step over the pipe bombs.
Yeah, earlier that evening, Dennis and another relative got into an argument after the relative came by the home and banged on the front door, according to the police.
Mm.
So they actually came to the house and banging on the door.
Mm-hmm.
When Bergman arrived at the house to surprise Dennis, he banged on the back door without announcing himself. Well, that's different. The back door means you're in your yard.
Mm-hmm.
But Dennis thought Bergman was a relative with whom he had previously argued. I told you to get the fuck out of here. Oops, mm-hmm. wrong person.
Yeah, these people got issues.
Jeez.
Yeah. In our last story of the day, Denver policeman fired for saying he was raped by a woman he impregnated.
He was fired for saying that?
Yes. Denver policeman had been fired for falsely claiming that he was raped by a woman he impregnated, in what authorities said was an effort by the officer to avoid paying child support. Now listen, I don't think you can claim you got raped when you shot your load into somebody. Right? Because the minute you're enjoying it, that's it, right? You're consenting, right? Is it possible for a man? That's one thing. A man can be raped if a woman grabs a dildo and shoves it up your ass. You can argue. You don't have to. But if you're going to say the woman raped me, she hopped on my cock for 10 minutes, you know, and I busted a nut. I don't think that's a case you can win, do you?
I don't think he's going to win this case.
No. The evidence presented that the officer Shepard made an unfounded sexual assault claim against the complainant, seemingly to avoid having to pay child support. Shepard could not be reached for comment because he was trying to come up with other reasons. Denver police spokesman said the department had no comment on the case. The 8-page termination letter said Shepard fathered a child who was born in October 2017 and will not have a normal life.
No.
And in April 2018, he reported to police that he had been sexually assaulted at the one-time encounter had led to the pregnancy. That guy's got serious cum.
That guy needs to come up with better excuses.
Yeah, he didn't read the man's excuse book. What's up, Peter Kramer? Anyway, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I want to thank Jesse Cohen for coming in today for the first time.
Thank you.
And adding some legalese and legal aspect to the show.
You get what you pay for.
Yeah. It's free. Pro bono, as they say. And Josh Randall.
Yeah.
For telling us that he was in a porn.
Softcore porn.
Yeah. In 13 porn. Episodes.
So you didn't really get the HIV from WebMD.
No, I got it from Beachy, Miami.
Because that Band-Aid kept flipping off. Anyway, guys, by the way, exciting this week. Hopefully I feel better. But I'm going to be at the Comedy Catch in Chattanooga, Tennessee this Thursday through Sunday, opening for a very one of Florida's funniest comics ever, Eric Myers. So that should be a good show. So if you're in the area of Chattanooga, Tennessee, come out and see that. Go to DougAlmeida.com for more dates. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Dougie Dangerous. Follow our show on Instagram at Wake Up Dougie Show. Wake Up Late Dougie. Wake Up Late with Dougie. And, of course, our Twitter at Wake Up Dougie. How about you, Josh?
Follow me at JRandOfficial.
Jesse?
You can follow me on Instagram at JesseVCohen. And please come out to the Robot Brewing Company this Saturday night. I'm having a charity show with Sharon Pfeiffer. We got a whole bunch of great comics, including Jay Guy, Jackie Sanchez, Pam Bruno, and a whole bunch of other stars. It's a fundraiser for the Women in Distress of Broward County. That's a battered women's shelter.
Right. And none of them are surprising their family members.
I'll be hosting a private bar mitzvah on Saturday night. Check me out.
There you go. There you go, guys. Thanks for checking us out. We'll be back next week here, by the way. Right here at the same spot. God bless. Take care.
Thanks, Dougie.
People on the earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they traveled through the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. Thick beam of light hit the ground. Journey of a thousand lifetimes with the children of the